Online Podcast May 6, 2005. Welcome to Online Podcast. This is John Ong, and today, we're going to have a special treat. We actually are going to be having a discussion. Like I always do, I'm actually going to work right now. So as I'm doing this, so you'll hear all this junk noise in the background. But what I wanted to let you know is this show is special because I have a long discussion with a friend of mine who's also a personal correspondent in San Francisco about film festival, and specifically on Malaysian film, because that's 101. So there's going to be that, and the discussion phone call was made last night, so I have to piece the pieces together, and since the conversation was actually longer than over an hour, so I will be posting this show in two parts. You will hear the first part today, Friday. Well, this is the day I'm going to post it, so whenever you're listening to this, and then there will be a second part of the show, which will be posted up on Monday, which is, I think, May 9th. So, take a listen to our discussion. There'll be all the links to the movies that we mentioned that I can find online. I'll post it on my website, so you can go to onlinepodcast.com and check out the show notes and comments and feedback can be sent to online@gmail.com or call my comment line at 206-888-JOHN. So here's the discussion that we had the night before. Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'm doing this like very primitively. But anyway, okay, go ahead.
Another lazy podcast?
Oh gosh, this is like lazy ass podcast because I'm not even downstairs in my studio even though I'm at home. I'm just like doing the same technology as I did when I was at my office. I just put one microphone in the headpiece and then the other microphone on my mouth.
Yes. Oh, but it's very fun now because I have a great view of the town and I'm checking out this very cute guy.
Oh my god!
who doesn't know I exist, unfortunately. But he works for the festival.
Oh.
I met this suspicion, which I can understand. How fun. Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. So tell me all about it. So you just saw Setback.
So the Malaysian films. Okay, so the one that I just saw,
mm-hmm,
was Setback,
mm-hmm,
which means like muscle setback.
Yeah.
Like slip eye.
Yeah.
So I just saw it. It's I would say it's very good.
Uh-huh.
It's not like excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean it's about like Chinese boy who's actually, his mom was actually Nyonya.
I know, I read a little bit of it online.
Oh, good. Okay, so it's about the Chinese boy who falls in love with a Malay girl.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And what can I say about this film?
Tell me what language is it in?
It's in all dialects, but it's, you know, mostly Malay and mostly Malay and some English and Chinese too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the actress who plays the Malay girl, Sharifa Amani, I believe. Yeah, that's the name, Sharifa Amani. She's really talented because like she speaks like all the dialects and it's very accurate.
Mm.
But it was just really, really interesting to watch this film, like especially after being away from Malaysia for so long, because it's just,
I know,
I think it's just like infused with Malaysian character.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the little details. There's even a lata.
Oh my god.
Because they have like a they have a servant, the Malay family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and she's kind of like the Joker of the movie.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, she's very funny. So I mean, not to talk too much about it, but it's just very good. I mean, actually, when I was at the Malaysian seminar on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
they had the film. They had four of the filmmakers like on the panel, and they were discussing about Malaysian film. So they actually said that this film has been called the very first Malaysian film, like defined as, because you know it's truly the character. You know, like it's all this mixed dialects and mixed races, and it's like
just really like the Malaysian society. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really how things are. It's not you know like some idealized version that is trying to. We're trying to make Malaysian, like a version of the story seen somewhere, and trying to make Malaysian.
Mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
then, actually, they acknowledged that too in the seminar. So far, Malaysian cinema, that's the problem with it. Like, it's been like in genres,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of like use stories which they already know, but or even like from the West, and they try to force, you know, the characters which are Malaysian into doing these things which are not very Malaysian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, which, yeah. By the way, I have to interrupt. You're listening to online podcasts, and also you're listening to the live report from Bridget Hannah-Jones herself, himself, whatever.
Yes, hello everyone. This is Bridget Hannah-Jones from San Francisco, and we just talked about Sepet,
okay.
Which I think is a very commercially successful film in Malaysia for those reasons, but. For like, well, I wouldn't give away much. Like the arc of the story doesn't really work for me.
But the what doesn't work?
The arc of the story.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, like I had the same feeling as a lot of the Malay films. I mean, I watched growing up. Like it goes really, really well and promising. Like in the beginning and the first half,
mm-hmm.
and then the third half is kind of like drops dead. But I mean, this film saves itself though. It doesn't drop dead. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I don't want to knock it. Like overall, it's really good.
Okay. I read a little bit about it online, so I kind of know a little bit of the story. But is there anything, one specific thing about this film that you want to point out? Or have you already talked about it?
I think that the thing is, I really agree with. How they define it, that it's the first Malaysian film. Well, actually, I need to tell you that there was a big hoopla in the press about it, because first there was a backlash about it. Okay, well, first of all, let me further say that I think it's one of the first films, or actually even the first film, by a Muslim woman director from Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So her name is Yasmin Ahmad, but I think she is so progressive. Apparently, she's like this... director for TV commercials.
So
she's really talented. Okay, so first that was already set, okay, and then when this film came out, because of the topic, because of the topic and the premise of it, you know, like Chinese boy falling for the Malay girl,
mm-hmm.
It gives you the opportunity for the screenwriter who she also did, Yasmin Ahmed, and she wrote and directed it.
Mm-hmm.
It gives the director the opportunity to, you know, delve into all the racial issues, and there was even like talking about issues about like colonialism.
Mm.
So it's just very, I think it's a very comprehensive film. If you come from Malaysia, you know what I'm talking about, because it's like everything you know about what made Malaysia what it is today and what makes you Malaysian today, you will see in the film.
Oh my god, this is exciting.
So back to the press. So there was a backlash about it. People were saying that no, this is in no way a Malaysian film because of all this all this diverse elements.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently there was a backlash to that backlash saying, hello, that's exactly what makes it a Malaysian film.
Mm-hmm. Because of that. Yeah.
So,
now, who was the one who said that this is not a... Do you know what source said that? Like, this is not...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I only heard about all this from the seminar. So it's very cursory for me. I didn't actually, like, go going to research about, you know, read all the press reports and everything. But I'm sure you can find it.
Is it the something from the press in San Francisco, or was it back in Malaysia when the film came
back
out?
Back in Malaysia.
Okay.
When the film came out, yeah. So that, and I was actually very impressed with this film festival because I think they might have actually programmed it deliberately, you know, to show that they started with the Putri Gunung Ledang, mm-hmm. Mount Ledang, mm-hmm. which was like, you know, where Malaysia started, supposedly, like historically, in the 15th century.
Yeah.
Which I will talk about later. And then, you know, they kind of capped it, because today's the last day of the festival, they kind of capped it with this film, you know, which is kind of like what Malaysia is now. So I felt
that's interesting, yeah.
Well, I mean, that might just be my perception and how I always read into things, but I think I might not be far from the truth. So I think then I can move to Putri Gunung Ledang.
Okay, good.
And do you know anything about this film?
I know a little bit about it, but I want you to talk about it. But the reason why I know about it is because I did a little bit of, because I kind of forgot who Tiara Jacqueline, I cannot remember her face. So I went online and do a little Google search on Tiara Jacqueline, and I found two really, really high resolution good pictures of the film. So now I have it on my desktop as my picture on my desktop. It's probably one of those publicity picture of Hang Tua and Putri Gunung Ledang to look away with her very sexy outfit.
Yeah, which is her, and they're like in front of trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's the picture.
So I don't know much about it. Tell me about it.
So, okay, so this movie is like commercial thing about it is that it's apparently the most expensive film ever made in Malaysia. And it was heavily promoted when it came out. I think it was like
2004, isn't it?
Because our big sister was in Malaysia, and he even noticed all the huge billboards.
Oh my god, like, that bitch never told me.
He was like ignoring them. I mean, well, he didn't tell me either. Actually, I told him that it was coming out.
Oh my god.
So, it is the very first film that was submitted to the Academy Awards.
Oh.
The Academy for Oscar consideration.
Wow. Is it the coming one, or has they already done?
I believe it was. It's over.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's been submitted. Yeah, but after seeing it, I think I understand why it was a huge commercial success, because it's really, really very beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, set in the
1500s.
About 1400s. 1400s. It's almost like a mythic story from the 15th century.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is about it is, it actually, for us, well, I'm not really sure who the Putri Gunung Ledang is and mm-hmm. who Hang Tua is. It's actually a combination of the two stories. And I didn't realize this until the filmmakers admitted it after the film.
Oh, so what? When we grew up, we never really studied anything about the combination of the two. We only studied Putri Gunung Ledang as a separate thing, and then Hang Tua as a separate thing, and then this film put them together.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I personally don't remember who I was studying about the Putri Gunung Ledang.
Uh huh.
I only heard of her in songs, I think, and poems.
Yeah, or maybe some Friday Malay movie, sometimes a black and white Malay movie, sometimes you hear that.
Really?
Yeah, and then you see this fog, you know, foggy thing, and there's a very, very jerky dissolve, and then she kind of float into the mountain like that. And that's the only image I remember. I don't remember much about it, actually.
Yeah, so actually when I first heard the story about Putri Gunung Ledang, I was like, who is this? I think she's some mythic character, much like Mashuri.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also another mythic female character from Malaysia.
Isn't she like a mythological, well, not mythological, but kind of like a folklore? Is it a folklore?
Absolutely. It's more like folklore, and apparently she's in almost every Southeast Asian culture.
Oh,
like the Philippine people have for it. The Indonesian people apparently have it too, and I think the Thai people have it too.
Oh, is it? Are they the same name though, or is it just like similar character?
Probably the similar character, because the actual Gunung Ledang is in Malacca.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's okay, good to know, because I don't know that.
Yeah, so the actual Gunung Ledang is in Malacca, and then so that's how I think they came up with this story, you know, to combine
Hang Tuah
with the story of Hang Tuah. And in the film Putri Gunung Ledang, it's about them, you know, being like this star-crossed lovers.
But can you give us a little bit of a background about Hang, just like a short background about Hang Tuah, who is Hang Tuah? A lot of American listener will probably think that it's like Hang.
Hang Tuah. He was like a Hang, because
he's a Hang, not necessarily a Hang.
Well, actually, it's Hang. It's H-A-N-G, Hang.
H-A-N-G, Hang.
You can say that he's Hang.
Oldly Hang. Because Tuah means old.
But I really don't want to go there, because it's such a period piece. Okay, so anyway.
Yeah, okay, the guy's name is Hang Tuah. And then he's like a warrior, isn't he?
He was an admiral, which is like Laksamana Hang Tuah, which is
that's
what
right.
We learned, but we just never knew that it was like an admiral until I saw this film. So the story of Malacca is apparently how Malaysia started. It comes from the empire of Malacca.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Which had a sultan, and then like, you know, there's a prime minister. There's like all these political characters. But I think the popular characters from this history were the admirals, because, you know, of this butch reasons, you know, they were admired for their masculinity and strength. But Hang Tuah was very popular because he is loyal to the death. Mm-hmm. And this is what they showed in the film too. To further give your background, Hang Tuah, like, if you grew up in Malaysia, he's always, when you talk about, you know, like strength and loyalty and goodness, you know, it's about him. So it's related to him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Now some of the memories kind of came back. It's almost like when you're as loyal as Hang Tuah or something when you say certain things.
And we
probably have more American listeners than we do Malaysian, but I want you to cover both.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, that's... And then about...
I think, would that be sufficient?
I think that's probably sufficient, and then we don't know about. In fact, I don't even know about Putri Gunung Ledang. So tell me a little bit about her.
Me neither. I mean, except that I heard about, you know, like I said, like I heard her in songs, all this like poems. I think I don't really remember where I actually heard, but I mean I know the name.
Yeah, maybe we studied it in like Pantun or something.
I'm pretty sure that it's
Pantun.
Or maybe like
poem.
When we heard some songs from television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is she? I know it's a little bit of like a torn between loyalty and the love interests of Hang Tuah and Putri Gunung Ledang, kind of like that, isn't it?
You mean, are you talking about the film now?
Yeah, the film.
Well, okay, the actual film is the writers decided to go ahead and give this assumption, you know, because they were both the princes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we should tell people that Putri means princess.
That's right.
The princess of Mount Ledang and Hang Tuah were around at the same time. So, you know, like, well, this could be a possible story, you know, they could have fallen in love.
Mm-hmm. I like that approach.
So actually what happened was the princess was originally from Java. And, you know, well, obviously she's royalty from Java. So the Sultanate of Malacca at the time, they were like visiting Java for some royal entourage things. And that's how they both met. But it was kind of like forbidden for them to be in love, because she is a princess and he's like a warrior who's supposed to be like loyal to the king. And, you know, like there were, I mean, in the film it shows and all the politics involved, like, you know, like, oh, you know, because back then, you know, they would like marry the princesses for like, you know, peace and all these things between nations.
Yeah.
So that's the premise for the story. For the script of the story of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And how
about the movie now? I know it looks really good. In fact, the pictures that I saw, it looks gorgeous. And you said that it was in, this is probably in one of your reports that I played this morning, yesterday. By the time you listen to this, it'll be yesterday. But you said that it was in the classic Malay?
Yes. When I watched this, because when we were growing up in Malaysia, we were made to learn Malay because I was not keen on it back then. In fact, I failed it for my high school exam. So part of learning the Malay, it was even the modern Malay is very involved in kind of like speaking in verse, because the classic Malay was fully spoken in verse. If you want to kind of like know an equivalent, it's kind of like Shakespeare.
Yeah, that's a good Shakespeare. Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah. So actually, when I watched the film, they used all this classic Malay, which I found beautiful, and I'm not exaggerating that I got goosebumps when I was watching.
Because I can just imagine.
I could understand fully, and you know, everything was spoken in verse, like in a very, I mean, delivered the way it should be delivered. Very slow and gentle.
Even
in like scenes of conflict, like between two warriors, they would speak in that way.
Mm. Do you remember some of the older films that, like the Friday night, I keep saying Friday night Malay black and white movies, sometimes they also have films in that period that also use Bahasa Klasik also.
I think then you watch more than me.
The
only thing I remember watching was like P. Ramlee, and I mean even the modern, what's called modern Malay, they still have remnants of all these things, like, you know, they would say, like, for a husband and wife, the wife would call the husband Kakanda, which is like brother.
Yeah.
Like older brother, and the husband would call the wife
Dinda, which is like, yeah. Oh my god, that has brought back so much.
Okay, so to all the Americans listening, it's in no way incestuous, okay?
It's just the way you call.
Yeah, it's not even like arranged. There's not even like arranged marriages among the Malay people. It's just the way that they talk. It's like a way of respect.
Yeah,
it's just tradition and way of respect, and I would say like it gives it a lot of charm.
Now, you know, in fact, today, I'm not sure about today, but based on the films that I watched, even some modern days people, they don't use kakanda or kanda anymore, but they still call the husband bang, and which means abang, which is like brother. But you know, it's totally not the same as the incest abang. It's just the way of, like you said, respect for the spouse.
Yeah. To go back to the film I just watched, that's again how I felt, like the big kind of like disparity between it and the Princess of Mount Ledang, because when I think about it, they did not use any of this classic terms at all. That's just what I realized right now. But I think in this case, they're kind of like striving to be very modern, so instead, they use a lot of like English, and you know, of course, they already incorporate a lot of like other dialects into it. I think it would be really, really complicated if they included these classic elements as well.
Yeah.
So apart from that, the movie was like it was really what we would call like commercial. Like it looked really good. And there were a lot of like action scenes. It was basically a lot of action, a lot of spectacle, and even martial arts.
Yeah, which is called pencak silat.
Pencak silat, it's actually traditional, like traditional Malay. But actually, even the filmmaker admitted that all roads lead back to India and China. So he says that, like, you know, basically it's like a, it's derived from, you know, all this like ancient Chinese and Indian like cultures. Yeah, so actually when I watched it, he the director, he even, like, there was a scene in it where it looked like Crouching Tiger and Hidden Dragon, you know, like all this like flying about in the sky thing. Yeah, so actually that was the scene that I kind of cringed a little. But and that's what I mean, you know, that the film is really, really commercial, but I would say it's kind of like, you know, like Titanic, which is very, very like spectacular and action. And the underlying story is rather simple. Yeah, so you get the sense of that, but it's not bad. I mean, in the end, you feel satisfied because that's like a good climax. And
well,
yeah.
To me, it's very fascinating because of how they, well, to me, you know, me, us being away from the country for so long and kind of brought back a lot of memory. Like, you know, when you were telling me about the movie, it kind of brought back a lot of my Friday nights that I watched the Malay movies. And I think I did that a lot, you know. And, you know, the movies that is not the P. Ramlee period of... Not like the at that time, the modern period.
Oh yeah, I'm remembering some of them. Oh yeah, I did see some of them.
Yeah,
like,
so
there was this one about the son who like kind of was very poor, and then like when he got rich, and he rejects his mom, and he's turned into stone. Or something.
Oh my god, I remember that? Yeah.
That's the most popular. Yeah, he's like on a ship, and the mom.
Yeah.
His huge ship, and he goes back to his village. And his mom comes by the ship in her little boat and trying to sell her little ware. And he's like, "Go away, you annoying poor woman."
Yeah. I remember that. I have the image then, vividly.
Yeah, and then the tale about it is like, oh, you know, because you betray your mother, so this is your curse. So everything was turned to stone.
Yeah. I remember that. In fact,
the thing about.
I was at the airport this last time I went back to Malaysia, and I saw this film. It's a black and white, exactly like what we were talking about, that really old, well, not really old, but the old black and white Malay movies of like a mermaid, I think. This is, I don't know.
Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we're digressing, so.
I remember. So, I mean, and that's the other thing too about The Princess of Monoladon. It also incorporates, it's like, 15th century, like mystic, you know, incorporates a lot of magic.
And
yeah, so actually here at the festival, it's been compared to like Lord of the Rings for Malaysia.
Which
I was initially annoyed with, but then when I watch it, I'm like, oh, okay, I totally understand.
I see. Do they have like really nice aerial shots? When you say Lord of the Rings comparison, I thought it's like, is it like the really nice aerial shot of Malaysia?
No, that is one thing which I think there was like budget constraints.
Oh.
Because I was watching out for it too. Like, they did have battle scenes. But they weren't as elaborate and weren't as, I would say, weren't as well choreographed. You know, but I mean, nonetheless, it's very, very impressive for, you know, like, first effort from Malaysia. Like, what he actually did. But the good thing is he had very, very good shots of the actual Mount Ladang.
Is it really a gunung? Is it really a mountain?
Yeah, it's actually there, right there in Malaysia.
But I wasn't sure, is it like a... Because I don't remember Malacca having big mountain. But I've only been to Malacca once.
Yeah, and you know, like, I guess it wouldn't be made a big deal of, you know, if you're from Malaysia, because it's probably like really low, you know, in terms of actual mountain.
So it's not like Mount Kinabalu. What is that? Mount Kinabalu is not like that
high.
Okay,
yeah, that's in Malaysia. Okay, I'm remembering that name too. Yeah, so
it's not like that. It's not like Mount Kinabalu. It's more like a bukit. More like a bukit, like a small hill.
That I really don't know. I don't know the elevation and all that, but there was mist up there.
There's what? Mist.
There was
kind of like Genting, maybe. Yeah.
And What did you say?
Like genting.
Yeah, yeah, like genting. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just find that overall it was impressive. In spite of, you know, whatever drawbacks it might be, because we're comparing it, you know, to films that we've seen.
Sure.
Which are like more like YouTube.
I myself am very excited to want to see it because of all the Malaysian elements that you told us, you know. It's like, oh, so yeah. Exciting. I want to see it.
And actually, I was the one who came out with this, like, comparing it to, like, back to the language. I was the one who was comparing it to, like, Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And I was deliberately asking, actually, the first question during the question and answer session.
Uh-huh.
So that people who don't, who, because, you know, you would understand a lot of it gets lost in translation.
Yeah.
It's beautiful classic language. So I was the person to bring up this comment and question about, uh-huh, like, oh, you know, when I watched the film, it really felt, I realized I was watching like Shakespeare,
uh-huh,
because of all the verse and everything.
So
the other more like production behind the scenes things about it that's interesting is,
uh-huh,
it was actually, I think the gist of it and the dialogue and everything was written by an actual like Malay director.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was very, very generous in just like allowing this the actual director to do it.
Oh. Like, you, yes, mean directed the way the director wants it to be?
Yes, because the director is actually Chinese.
Yeah, I saw, was like Ang something or something.
Yo Tiong Hin.
Oh.
Xiao Tiong Hin, oh god.
Sorry. I actually have the, today I actually listed all the, I think four or five movies, is it five or four? Four movies, I,
yeah,
think. Yeah, I listed on my website.
So, I mean, the significance of this is if people listening who aren't familiar with Malaysian cinema is, it's been very, I would say, restrictive, and it's always been like just like Malays, like producing and directing and writing and, you know, acting. So it's been very like one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I mean, well, I mean, I, they're calling it this, at this festival, they're calling this new film the Malaysian New Wave.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is what they mean, you know, like, rather than being like so, I would say segregated in the film industry, okay?
Yeah. It's very like, Malay. It's very Malay. The typical ones, yeah, are very Malay.
They are more like pooling their resources. Mm-hmm. Everybody's pooling their resources to see what the talent is in Malaysia.
Mm.
And really, you know, like doing the best they can, which is what was so impressive about this film.
Cool. And
yeah, and the producer, like you mentioned, Kara Jacqueline. Well, she's a producer on top of being the lead. Yeah.
Cool. And Tiara, okay, we'll have another show about Tiara and Tiara.
Tiara and Tiara Jacqueline.
We'll have another show all about Tiara Jacqueline. I don't quite remember, so I have to have Bridget Hannah-Jones remind me of her a little bit. And also we'll talk, yeah, about why there's a whole philosophy about having a tiara and why I have one and all that. And
yeah, there's a philosophy about why her name is actually Tiara.
Oh my god, is it really?
It is really her name.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't know if it's a stage name, but for as long as I've known her, that's the name. Yeah.
Okay, we'll save that for the next, not next, but, you know, whenever that next show is. But we'll talk about that. And then,
okay. So I have to stop the show here because the conversation was too long. And make sure you tune back and check out the rest of the show here on online podcast. On my next show, I will be posting the rest of the discussion, and we will finish up the discussion with my dear Bridget Hannah-Jones. I think that's about it, and so I will hopefully be able to get the show up on Monday, May 9th. So if you're listening to this over the weekend or on Friday, on May 9th is when I'm going to post the show on Monday, the second part of the show. So thank you for tuning. No, not tuning. Thank you for subscribing and downloading the show and listening to the show. Thank you so much. And again, if you have any feedback or comments, you can always go to my website to find out more information on how to send me email and actually call me. My website is onlinepodcast. That's onglinepodcast.com. Thank you. Have a great day, evening, or whenever you're listening to this. Bye-bye. Don't forget to smile.
Tawagam 2004.